You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Friday morning, a quick look at the weather forecast has some patchy drizzle this morning, a slight chance of a shower after 5 this evening, partly sunny, a high of 59, light south-southeast winds of about 6 to 11. In the morning, winds could gust as high as 20. And then tonight, areas of drizzle with a slight chance of rain before midnight, areas of drizzle between midnight and 3 a.m., a bit of fog after midnight, otherwise cloudy, a low of 52, south-southwest winds tonight at 10 to 13, gusting to 16, chance of precipitation overnight set at 20%. I think I told you patchy drizzle this morning. Of course, that was for afternoon and late evening into the 5 o'clock and after hour. One quick news item for the day. Dow and DuPont today announced the two companies will combine into a merger of what they call equals. Dow DuPont, the merged business, one single word, will then split into three independently publicly traded companies. They'll focus on agriculture, materials science, and specialty products. The company's new leadership team says the projected market value of the merger is about $30 billion. DuPont's Ed Breen will serve as the new CEO of Dow DuPont. DuPont, by the way, owns Pioneer Hybrid Seeds, and Breen says the merger will achieve about $1 billion worth of growth synergies.
We get these massive synergies, which were all within our control. We don't nothing that the market's doing. It's all within our control to do. And then over kind of a longer period of time, and I say longer, intermediate to longer, we'll be working on revenue synergies. And by the way, just on the ag side, back to the last set of questions, there's really neat opportunity there just as one. So to me, it checks all the boxes of a great deal and a way to create value for our shareholders. And that's the way I've always looked at this. What's the best way to create long-term sustainable value for shareholders? And that's the move we made today.
That's Ed Breen. He's the new CEO of the combined Dow DuPont. Market capitalization of the new company is about $130 billion. Four shareholders each will own approximately 50% of the combined company. Now let's take a look at the numbers as they're trading in Chicago at this hour at the CME Group. In the grains pit, nearby soybeans are down 7.25 cents at $8.71 in the January, March at $8.74 and a quarter, 7 lower. July down 6 and a quarter, November 7.5 cents lower for the day. December corn down 3 and a quarter at $3.74, the March at $3.76, 3 lower, July 3 lower, and December down 2 and a quarter for next year at $3.97. Bean meal is off $1.10. Bean oil off 37 cents. Wheat futures down 4.5 at $4.80. In the nearby December, July hard soft red at $4.98 and three quarters, down 7 and a quarter. And the hard red at $5.02 and a quarter in the harvest month. That's the July, down 8 cents. Feeder cattle are $2.27, or rather $2.80 lower at $150.25. And the live cattle are down 72 cents. Lean hogs down, or rather up about a dime, in the nearby December. February contract $1.25 higher. On the line with us to talk about all these kinds of things is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good, beautiful Friday morning to you, Michael.
Back at you, Todd. I hope you're having a good day.
We are so far. It's been a busy day with the announcements that have come out of Dow and DuPont and their merger, although we knew about that in advance. Just really kind of came upon us quickly this morning. And then when we turn to what's happening in Chicago, we were wondering why it is that soybeans began to move so sharply lower today.
Well, I think two things. With the report that came out from USDA on the supply-demand did not give us a reduction in U.S. ending stocks like it did last year in the December report. We had about a 40 million bushel reduction last December from the November report, and I think the trade was kind of geared up towards that, and I think the spread trade was certainly trying to push that into the market price by buying the beans and selling the corn. But with no change in U.S. ending stocks, no changes in South American production, trade probably went right back to trading the South American weather, especially center west Brazil, and especially went back to trading the crude oil market. And both of those, the weather and the crude oil market, have both kind of turned against the soybeans. And you're right that soybeans today, technically speaking, Todd, are probably the most vulnerable because we have taken out Thursday's lows, whereas with the corn and wheat, we're trading an inside day, a lower high, but still holding above yesterday's high. So beans are probably on the front line of directing this market, especially if we're going to go lower and erase the gains for the corn, which we're trading right at flat on the week for the corn. And we'll see what kind of pressure it puts on wheat, which soft red wheat was up about 20 cents coming into this morning's trade.
Yeah, so why is it no longer up that high?
Well, I think that a rising boat lifts all tides, and a declining boat, hurts all, or rising tide lifts all boats, and vice versa. And I think this is where the crude oil market has consistently made new 7-year lows, as we've gone through this trading week. And this, I think goes directly back to the Federal Reserve report coming out here on Monday, Tuesday. So even with a weekly production cut, the crude oil has consistently made new lows. And even with the dollar slightly weaker, which is, I think has directly helped the wheat, you're not going to probably get any new longs into this market, whether you're talking grains or livestock, until you get that trend shift in the dollar and the trend shift in the crude oil.
Yeah, for better or worse, I tend to think of the marketplace all related to, at least commodities all related to crude oil as the first and primary commodity. And when it's trading down as low as it is now, that puts pressure on everything.
It does. And the CME group came out and said that on Wednesday we had an all-time record trade of volume in crude oil futures and options of 1.84 million contracts. That ends up being 1.84 billion barrels in that one day traded. We consume in the world, in the whole world, about 90 million barrels, Todd. So you're talking about trading about 20 times the world's daily consumption in that day at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And I think it gives you an idea of how powerful these mechanized, computer-driven funds are, and that the funds, you're exactly right, and the trade sentiment in particular, probably really looking at the crude oil and the copper and the industrial metals as China's growth and Brazil's growth, and they see that as very weak, whereas the import-export data for ag commodities actually looked very good this week as far as what China imported in the month of November and year-to-date. So there is a distinction building between ag commodities and the industrial complex, but the trade is not willing to take that distinction and differentiation on yet, and I think it goes back to the Federal Reserve. What will they do Monday? Will they raise rates, and will that put a dollar high finally in place?
Okay, so we haven't disconnected those two yet, and you're really pegging that on Monday to make a change. Do you think that it will happen?
I do, because I think even in the cash meal trade over in Europe, there were comments made by some of the larger commodity traders and cash meal people over there that they were not only waiting to see what the USDA would say, but they were also waiting to see what the Federal Reserve would do to the dollar price action. Would it make a meal cheaper for the Europeans to buy if the dollar kept going up at that point? So I think this is where you're looking at the dollar getting better for the European meal seller and weaker for the European meal buyer. And so this is where these macro factors are really in point and center, I think.
Okay, and once this is all done on Monday, and if you are correct, does it mean, and I'm going to make a suggestion here, that there's an outside down week in the soybeans, that despite that, soybeans find some buoyancy someplace or not?
I think so. I mean, that's where it goes back to a rising tide lifting the boats. In the feeder cattle complex in particular this week, Todd, it's been absolutely amazing to see how when the dollar goes down and the crude oil goes up, we have seen erasing of 300, 400-point losses to where the feeders were trading just down 30, 40 cents. And then later in the day, when the dollar would resume its uptrend and the crude its downtrend, feeders would march right back down to limit down moves. I think there's that really strong correlation we talked about at the Ag Summit in Bloomington a week or so ago. It's just gotten even stronger ahead of this Federal Reserve report. So I would see that this would make a direct link and relationship and consequence of the trade after they do release. And obviously I'm gunning and hoping for a Federal Reserve rate increase of no more than 0.5%. And then they talk about how they're not going to do much for several months because of the weak global economy or weak inflation or whatever that may be.
We'll see more Monday, and we'll talk with you again this afternoon and see what's changed in Chicago.
Sounds good, sir. Have a great day.
You too. That is Mike Zuzlow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbanum. A quick look at the numbers in Chicago. Corn futures down about 3 cents. Soybeans are off around 6. Wheat futures are down 4 to 7 for the morning. Live cattle futures are down around $1.35. Feeder cattle are $3 lower. That's the limit. And lean hogs are up about $1.10 for the morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It's 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone.